Open in a word of prayer.
Loving Heavenly Father, we praise Thee and thank Thee for another good morning.
The sun is shining and the weather is good. We thank Thee for all this. We thank Thee for Thy goodness and Thy loving kindness to us, preserving our life, our health and our strength.
We pray for many who are sick. We pray, Lord, that Thou will heal them of their diseases and illness. Thou art Almighty God, in control of all events and circumstances, even our very lives, our health. And we submit to Thee, Lord, that we are but weak and sinful people, seeking Thy help, Thy mercy. And we come to Thee this morning, asking that Thou will cure us of all our illnesses and our diseases. And more importantly, we come to learn of Thy word and also to apply it to our lives, that Thou will delight in us, in our conduct, that we'll live holy lives through Thy praise and glory. So even this morning, as we learn of the 10 plagues of Moses, and that we will know what it means to us today. We ask all this in Christ's precious name. Amen. Okay, this morning we're going to talk about the 10 plagues. And there's something that we wish to learn about to apply in our life from the life of Moses. This is taken from Exodus 7 to 10. So if you recall some background, Moses and Aaron went to see Pharaoh for the release of the Israelites. We talked about this in last lesson. And Pharaoh was very firm that he was not going to release the Israelites because he demanded, who is this God? What is his name? And he doesn't know this God and will have nothing to do with him. And he went on further to make life difficult for the Hebrew slaves by taking away the straws in the making of bricks. He accused the Hebrew slaves of not working hard enough, thinking about freedom, and leaving the kingdom for whichever place they want to go. And so Pharaoh gave them more work to look for straws in the making of bricks, and the productivity will be the same. There's no extra time given, no help in any way. But their productivity, their output of the bricks, the building of the cities will remain the same. Right, and so today we're going to see what God will do to Pharaoh. And of course, you all know that there are 10 plagues, the great plagues that will be released on Pharaoh and Egypt to punish them, to compel Pharaoh to release the slaves. And I'll be playing chapter 7, the video, and also chapter 10. I will not go into chapter 8 and 9 for the sake of time. Yeah? And I want you to watch carefully the negative characteristics of Pharaoh. For example, he is stubborn. You know, we all know that. Yeah? What other negative characteristics can you pick out from him? Yeah, so I'd like you to watch carefully. And so the first plague was the turning of River Nile into blood. And then we go on from there. And then the last chapter 10 is the plague number 8 and 9. I will not be going to the 10th plague today. I will reserve it for the next class. Yeah, the 10th plague is the most severe plague, as you all know. And I will talk, I will stop at peak number 9. Okay? So I'll move on to, let's watch.
Chapter 7. Yahweh said to Moses, "Behold, I have made you as God to Pharaoh, and Aaron your brother shall be your prophet. You shall speak all that I command you, and Aaron your brother shall speak to Pharaoh that he let the children of Israel go out of his land. I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. But Pharaoh will not listen to you, and I will lay my hand on Egypt and bring forth my armies, my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great judgments. The Egyptians shall know that I am Yahweh when I stretch forth my hand on Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among them." Moses and Aaron did so, as Yahweh had commanded him, so they did. Moses was 80 years old, and Aaron 83 years old, when they spoke to Pharaoh. Yahweh spoke to Moses and to Aaron, saying, "When Pharaoh speaks to you, saying, 'Perform a miracle,' then you shall tell Aaron, 'Take your rod and cast it down before Pharaoh, that it become a serpent.'" Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh, and they did so, as Yahweh had commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. Then Pharaoh also called for his wise men and the sorcerers. They also, the magicians of Egypt, did in like manner with their enchantments, for they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he did not listen to them, as Yahweh had spoken. Yahweh said to Moses, "Pharaoh's heart is stubborn. He refuses to let the people go. Go to Pharaoh in the morning. Behold, he goes out to the water, and you shall stand by the river's bank to meet him. And the rod which was turned to a serpent you shall take in your hand. You shall tell him, 'Yahweh, the God of the Hebrews, has sent me to you, saying, Let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness.' And behold, until now you haven't listened. Thus Yahweh says, 'In this you shall know that I am Yahweh. Behold, I will strike with the rod that is in my hand on the waters which are in the river, and they shall be turned to blood. The fish that are in the river shall die, and the river shall become foul, and the Egyptians shall loathe drink water from the river.' Yahweh said to Moses, 'Tell Aaron, take your rod, and stretch out your hand over the waters of Egypt, over their rivers, over their streams, and over their pools, and over all the ponds of water, that they may become blood, and there shall be blood throughout all the land of Egypt, both in vessels of wood and in vessels of stone.' Moses and Aaron did so, as Yahweh commanded, and he lifted up the rod and struck the waters that were in the river, in the sight of Pharaoh and in the sight of his servants, and all the waters that were in the river were turned to blood. The fish that were in the river died, and the river became foul, and the Egyptians couldn't drink water from the river, and the blood was throughout all the land of Egypt. The magicians of Egypt did in like manner with their enchantments, and Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he didn't listen to them, as Yahweh had spoken. Pharaoh turned and went into his house, neither did he lay even this to heart. All the Egyptians dug around the river for water to drink, for they couldn't drink of the water of the river. 7 days were fulfilled after Yahweh had struck the river."
Now I'll move on to the next video on the plague number 8 and 9.
Chapter 10. Yahweh said to Moses, "Go into Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servants, that I may show these signs in the midst of them, and that they may tell in the hearing of your son and of your son's son what things I have done to Egypt, and my signs which I have done among them, that you may know that I am Yahweh." Moses and Aaron went into Pharaoh and said to him, "This is what Yahweh, the God of the Hebrews, says. How long will you refuse to humble yourself before me? Let my people go, that they may serve me. Or else, if you refuse to let my people go, behold, tomorrow I'll bring locusts into your country, and they shall cover the surface of the earth, so that one won't be able to see the earth. They shall eat the residue of that which has escaped, which remains to you from the hail, and shall eat every tree which grows for you out of the field. Your houses shall be filled, and the houses of all your servants, and the houses of all the Egyptians, as neither your fathers nor your fathers' fathers have seen since the day that they were on the earth to this day. He turned and went out from Pharaoh. Pharaoh's servants said to him, How long will this man be a snare to us? Let the men go, that they may serve Yahweh their God. Don't you yet know that Egypt is destroyed? Moses and Aaron were brought again to Pharaoh, and he said to them, Go, serve Yahweh your God. But who are those who will go? Moses said, We will go with our young and with our old, with our sons and with our daughters, with our flocks and with our herds we will go, for we must hold a feast to Yahweh. He said to them, Yahweh be with you if I will let you go with your little ones. See, evil is clearly before your faces. Not so. Go now, you who are men, and serve Yahweh, for that is what you desire. They were driven out from Pharaoh's presence. Yahweh said to Moses, Stretch out your hand over the land of Egypt for the locusts, that they may come up on the land of Egypt, and eat every herb of the land, even all that the hail has left. Moses stretched forth his rod over the land of Egypt, and Yahweh brought an east wind on the land all that day and all the night. And when it was morning, the east wind brought the locusts. The locusts went up over all the land of Egypt and rested in all the borders of Egypt. They were very grievous. Before them there were no such locusts as they, neither after them shall there be such. For they covered the surface of the whole earth, so that the land was darkened. And they ate every herb of the land, and all the fruit of the trees which the hail had left. There remained nothing green, either tree or herb of the field, through all the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron in haste, and said, I have sinned against Yahweh your God, and against you. Now therefore please forgive my sin again, and pray to Yahweh your God, that he may also take away from me this death. He went out from Pharaoh and prayed to Yahweh. Yahweh turned an exceeding strong west wind, which took up the locusts, and drove them into the Red Sea. There remained not one locust in all the borders of Egypt. But Yahweh hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he didn't let the children of Israel go. Yahweh said to Moses, Stretch out your hand toward the sky, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. Moses stretched forth his hand toward the sky, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. They didn't see one another, neither did anyone rise from his place for 3 days, but all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. Pharaoh called to Moses and said, Go, serve Yahweh. Only let your flocks and your herds stay behind. Let your little ones also go with you. Moses said, You must also give into our hand sacrifices and burnt offerings, that we may sacrifice to Yahweh our God. Our livestock also shall go with us. There shall not a hoof be left behind, for of it we must take to serve Yahweh our God, and we don't know with what we must serve Yahweh until we come there. But Yahweh hardened Pharaoh's heart. He wouldn't let them go. Pharaoh said to him, Get away from me. Be careful to see my face no more, for in the day you see my face, you shall die. Moses said, You have spoken well. I will see your face again no more.
All right, so you saw a video of the plagues and the exchange between Moses and Pharaoh. So, of course, Pharaoh was stubborn and he refused to let the Hebrew slaves go. And then, after the terrible plague has come, he gave in to Moses and said, Yeah, you may go now, but please remove the plague. And then he changed his mind, refusing to let the slaves go. And Moses had to come out with a new plague. After he has consulted God, God says, there will be one more plague coming. And then Moses went to see Pharaoh and warned him of a new plague, and then showed the sign of the plague on Pharaoh and Egypt. So this goes on, yeah? And Pharaoh is arrogant, he's proud, he refuses to give in. And of course, at the back of his mind, he doesn't want to lose his slaves, because they are the ones who will build the city for him, free of charge, free labor. and he has all power and control over his Hebrew slaves. Yeah. They can't turn a revolt against him, unlike his fellow Egyptians. So he's in full control and he doesn't want to lose his slaves. Yeah. So that's Pharaoh, right? So let's look at the timeline of the 10 plagues. The first thing was when Moses went to see Pharaoh, the first time he had to show that he was appointed by God. So there was a sign of the staff turning into a snake. Yeah. And then Pharaoh say, I don't know who you are, I don't know your God, please leave me and leave my slaves alone. Then Pharaoh went back the second time. And that's where, Moses went to Pharaoh the second time, and Moses displayed God's first plague, changing the river now into blood. Yeah? And of course, all the fish died, all the sea animals died, and they lose a lot of fish for food. Yeah? And they can't even drink the water from the river now. So it's all blood. Then Pharaoh gave in and said, okay, you may go. And then he changed his mind again, you can't go. And then came the plague of the frogs. Pharaoh was still hardened. Then came the plague of lice. And the flies, plague on livestock, where all the cattle and the sheep and the goats all died because of a severe disease. Plague of boils. Boils is a skin disease. So all the people have boils in the body. Plague of hail. Hail is falling from sky, you know, the stones of ice. Yeah. Plague of locusts, what you saw just now. Never before have they come across locusts. So that is supernatural. And the whole sky was covered with locusts. All their crops all were eaten up by locusts. And then finally, and also plague number 9 was the plague of darkness. Yeah. The whole city became darkened, even though it was daytime. And the 10th plague, which I will talk about in the next class, was the plague of the death of the firstborn. That was the most severe plague. And after the 10th plague, Pharaoh gave in. So there was a contest between God and Pharaoh. And of course, behind Pharaoh, there was Satan. So you see God, Pharaoh, and Satan, opposite sides, contesting for the Israelite slaves. And needless to say, God won. And in our lives, we also encounter contest between righteousness and evil. Righteousness and God on the one side, evil and Satan on the other side. And I'll talk more about that later on, but let me go back to these 10 plagues. Right, some biblical interpreters says that the 10 plagues were there to embarrass the Egyptian gods. You know, Pharaoh and Egypt, they have their own gods. And the changing of the Nile to blood was to embarrass the god of the Nile. Yeah? The god of the Nile is there to protect River Nile. Yeah? Their livelihoods is in the River Nile. It brings fish, food. It is a place where they can get water for cleaning, even for drink. And here, the Israelite God is able to change the fresh River Nile into blood. And they cannot use the River Nile anymore to fish, to drink, and to wash. So they were all very fearful, the Egyptian people. How can their own God of the Nile not protect the River Nile? It has all been changed to blood. Next came the frogs. It was to embarrass Haggard, goddess of birth, with a frog head. Yeah? And next was the lice. embarrass a god called Set, god of the desert storms, and flies came to embarrass Ra, the sun god, and Uchit, all represent the gods represented by fly, and then death of livestock to embarrass the god of Hathor, goddess with a cow head, and many other gods. And he goes on, yeah? Boils, there is the god of Sekhmet, goddess with power over disease. How is that their god, who has power over disease, cannot get rid of the boils, which affected all the Egyptians? And hail, what about the sky goddess, who's not able to prevent the hail from falling from the sky? And so on and so forth, right? So at the end of the 10 plagues, the 9 plagues, the Egyptians were very frightened. Their gods lost out to the Israelite gods, the god of Moses. And that's where they were really frantic. Yeah? And of course, the last plague, death of the firstborn, yeah? Again, also defeated the Egyptian god Min, the god of reproduction. And so, and other gods related to the firstborn. Yeah. So what are some of the spiritual lessons we can learn from this, from the behavior of Pharaoh? In that, in a similar way, we are also encountering a contest in our life. You look at the timeline of Pharaoh's stubbornness. God instructed Moses to go to Pharaoh. Moses said to Pharaoh, "Let my people go." Pharaoh refused. God sent his plagues. Then for ourselves, God sent his word to us in the Bible. God required obedience of the Bible. We refuse to obey. God afflicts us with troubles. So there's a parallel, and that's how we can learn about the contest between God and Pharaoh and the contest in our lives between God and us. We, sinful and weak human beings, refuse to obey God, and God afflicts us with trouble, just as he afflicted Pharaoh in Egypt with trouble in the 10 plagues. So in what ways are we disobedient? Some common sins to guard against. First of all, lies, including white lies. Some of you may have thought about the issue of lies because in that the Bible talks about various characters having lied. What about such characters? The lie of Rahab. Some of you would have read the Bible about Rahab, how she hid the spies in her roof when Joshua sent the spies to Canaan, to search out Canaan. And Rahab took the spies and hid them in the roof. And when the king guards came, she told the king's guards, "Oh, the spies have left," knowing that the spies are up in her roof. Oh, didn't God approve of that lie? After all, she saved the spies. And they were sent by Joshua. Ultimately, the Israelites were to, on the report of the spies, would enter Canaan. So the answer is, could be found in this article. I hope you take time to read this. It's a good article, very sound. Did God approve of Rahab's lie? It's not a long article. And the short answer is no. God did not approve of Rahab's lies. God approved of her faith. She was rescued from Jericho. And she was not killed, she and her family. And some of you may think, oh, because she was not killed in Jericho, God approved of her lie. That's not true. Yeah? She would probably have sought God for forgiveness when she became a believer in God Jehovah. And God saved her from Jericho. Yeah? But I will commend you to read this article. It's a very good article, very sound and conservative. Yeah? Pride. Pride is something that many of us would have in our lives, at various stages of our lives as well. It is about how we put ourselves up in our self-worth. And that may be due to our achievement in the sense of academic achievement, or achievement in your career. You're somebody high up in a company and you look down on the rest of your colleagues who are much lower, and you have done much better than them. And pride comes in. Pride can come in the form of your scholastic achievement. Oh, I've come from this school, a brand name school, and you have not. I have done better than you. All my children have done better than your children. So it comes in various forms. It's about self-worth, your family's self-worth compared to other people. God does not delight in pride, and it was Satan, Lucifer, because of his pride, that God smite Satan. He fell into hell. That you can read in the Bible as well. So, pride is a very serious sin, and we must guard against it. Hatred and unforgiveness. Again, I think I've spoken about this many a times. We dislike certain people. It could be their idiosyncrasies, the way they behave, the way they talk. Very rude, very unkind, and you don't like them. Yeah. And there's a bit of hatred, and you want to get away from these people. Yes. And you can't forgive them for what they say. Yeah. Keep on talking about their bad behavior. And that is quite prevalent among all of us. Yeah. And we must also learn to guard against all this. Greed and materialism, a very common flaw among us Singaporeans. Yeah. We are always taught off to make a lot of money, you know. Invest this, invest that. On the television tells you, this investment is good, that investment is good. All the advertisement is about investment in property, equities, what have you. Materialism. I'm not saying that we shouldn't make a living. I think we all need to make a living to help ourselves, to attain a certain level of comfort and security for ourselves and our children. Yes. But it is greed, which I'm talking about here. Greed is unending quest to grab as much as you can. That is a sin. Yeah? Lust, sexual lust, most of the time, lust here can also refer to material things that you look and you really desire those material things. That's also lust. Lust can also be sexual lust, desiring of another person, the opposite sex. Again, it's quite common, a sin that we must try to guard against. And we read of lust in King David, and how his lust turned into murder. So be cautious about this. Selfishness, jealousy, etc. So yes, we struggle with sin. We have many of these here, which are quite common. Don't dismiss them as it doesn't affect me. I don't have this. I don't have these sins. Even Apostle Paul, you read what he wrote in the Bible. The things I should do, I do not do. The things I should not do, I do. Apostle Paul, the great apostle of Jesus Christ, is struggling with sin. So, be aware of it. More important, not just be aware, make effort to turn away from these bad behavior. What if we continue to disobey? What if we continue to be proud, lie, critical, hateful of other people? Psalm 66, if I regard iniquity in my heart, iniquity is wickedness. Wickedness can be disobedient of God's word, carrying on a sin. That's iniquity. The Lord will not hear me. God will not hear us if we sin. If we continue to disobey, God will not hear us. What does that mean if God does not hear us? You go to God asking Him to help you. He will not hear you. He will not help. That's very serious. Psalm 34. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cry. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous means God will take care of the righteous people. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. He takes care of those righteous people. And His ears are open unto their cry. He hears the cry of the righteous people. What about the wicked people? Those who are unrighteous, those who are sinful. He does not hear. He does not take care of the sinful people. If He does not hear, how is He going to take care of the sinful people? The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. See? God is against those who are evil. Those who are sinful, those who are disobedient, He will cut them off from remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The righteous cry, righteous people are those who will sin, repent, and turn away from sin, and do that which is right. Turn away from sin. The Lord will hear these people who cry out in their sin, seeking repentance and forgiveness. The Lord will hear them and will deliver them out of all their troubles. Referring to the righteous people. So it's very clear from these two psalms how God will look at these two groups of people, the righteous and the wicked. If the Lord turns against us for our sin and disobedience, we may face troubles in our lives, health issues, adversities. God doesn't answer our prayers. This is no surprise again. It is very clear in the Bible that when Jonah sinned, he turned away from God. Instead of going to Nineveh, when God commanded him to go to Nineveh to preach to the wicked people there, he refused to go because he thinks they're too wicked to change. He went the other direction to Tarshish. God sent a storm after Jonah and threw Jonah into the storm. Almost drowned and died. But God sent a fish to swallow up Jonah and save his life. So there you go. God punished for sins in the life of Jonah. And many other characters in the Bible. David was punished very grievously for his sin of adultery and murder. Four of his sons had to die. That was God's judgment, David. So, do not sin and attract God's punishment, because his punishment is severe. It is not a light rap on the knuckle. Far from it. Far from it. So, that is the way that we should not go. And God, the Lord punishes us because he loves us as a father loves his son. Yeah, he doesn't punish us because all of retribution. Yeah, I punish you. But he punishes us because we are his children. He doesn't spare the rod and spoil the child. Yeah. Hebrews 12, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. That is the Lord's treatment towards his children. He chasteneth, he punishes, he scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Maybe a painful process, but we learn from it. We learn to obey God, and through our obedience, he delights in us, favors us, blesses us. Now I'll come to this point about God hardening Pharaoh's heart. And that you can find in many verses in Exodus. Exodus 9, 12, chapter 10, 1, chapter 20, chapter 27, 11, 10, and so on and so forth. And you read in chapter 10, 1 to 2, the Lord said unto Moses, go in unto Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servants, that I might show these my signs before him. So, the Lord God told Moses, go to Pharaoh. God has hardened Pharaoh's heart, so that God will show these plagues to Pharaoh. Hardening Pharaoh's heart means Pharaoh is not going to allow the Hebrew slaves to leave. And then God will show the plagues on Pharaoh. Why? Verse 2. That thou mayest tell in the ears of thy son and of thy son's son what things I have wrought in Egypt, so that you will tell your son and your son's son, the descendants, what I brought upon Egypt, and my son and my signs which I have done among them, that ye may know how that I am the Lord. So, the plagues are there to show to Pharaoh, not only the Pharaoh, but the Israelites themselves and their descendants, that he is Lord God Almighty. He brought these 10 plagues on Egypt. And Egypt, the great power in that day, had to release them from bondage. The great Pharaoh had to release the Israelites because God wants them for his glory. And the whole world will know that this God is the God Almighty. Even great Pharaoh has to kowtow to God Almighty. That is what is in chapter 10, verse 1 and 2. Yeah. Due to God's hardening of Pharaoh's heart, there was waiting time and anxiety before the Israelites were rescued. I talked about this in my last lesson, how this brought about, this teaches us to be patient. Time taken for God to show the 10 plagues And all this means that the Israelites have to wait. So it is with our lives when we encounter problems. We go to God with our prayers, asking Him to deliver us from our problems. Time. Not that God needs the time, but events on earth takes time to take place. So through this, just as the Israelites have to wait upon the Lord for the 10 plagues to be played out, we on earth today have to be patient when we go to God with our request, asking Him to deliver us from certain events. Yeah? And during the time when we wait upon the Lord, these are some of the issues that we may face when we go to God. Illness, we have a boss that we have difficulty working with, relationship problems in the family, colleagues and friends, work problems. All these will take time. But while we wait upon the Lord, what we must do? Again, I'd like to bring you to Psalm 34:15. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cry. Many of us, some of us will think, look, I've gone to God and God has not helped me. I pray to Him every day. If it's coming to a month or two and there was no answer to my prayer, God doesn't listen to me. And we must remember to be patient. And remember that the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cry. And we should continue to do things pleasing to the Lord, turn away from wickedness and evil. So during the process of waiting, it may be a test from God on our patience. Do we wait upon Him or are we impatient? Are we like some people, God didn't reply to me? Forget about Him. Let me go my own way. Or are we faithful that we will continue to be righteous, do things which are pleasing to God, turn away from wickedness and evil, seek after peace? And the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. His ears are open unto their cry. God tests us. God tests our faithfulness, our patience with Him. You remember the test of Abraham sacrificing Isaac? What a severe test. Of course, I think we don't have such tests today where God asks us to sacrifice our children. But we have other less severe test, which God will meet it upon us. We all have different threshold, different strengths, different weaknesses. And God will calibrate the test on us, depending on our strength and our weaknesses. What is our test? Are we patient? Do we wait upon Him? Or we just throw everything to the winds. God did not help me. I'm not going to believe in Him anymore. Why should I? I'll do my own thing. I will overcome the trouble myself. I don't need God. Some people will react that way. Where is your faith? So we should not give tit for tat in a conflict situation. If it's a situation where you have conflict between two persons, the other person insulted you, criticized you, and you leash your anger upon him or her, and insulted her and told tales about her too, tit for tat. Take revenge. Write anonymous poison pen letters against our superiors. That happens commonly, I will say. Be distressed in our illness. Harbor wicked and evil thoughts. All these we should not do. Because they are not a delight unto the Lord. In Isaiah 46:4, God says this in his word, even to your old age and gray hairs, I am he. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you and I will carry you. I will sustain you and I will rescue you. Very comforting to read this. As you know that we are all getting on in age, and God says, even to your old age and gray hair, I am the one who will sustain you, carry you, rescue you. But there is a condition here. We have to be righteous. We have to be righteous before the Lord. He will then keep his eyes upon us and hear our cries and deliver us from all our troubles. So when he has heard our cry and helped us, we must thank him and testify of his goodness to his glory. Psalm 66, come and hear all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. So this psalmist says in this psalm, come and hear, all of you believers, and I will tell you what God has done for my soul. I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily, God hath heard me. He hath attended to my voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. So here is a very thankful psalmist. He has encountered a problem, and God has helped him, delivered him from his problem. And he's here to give thanks. And he said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, if I have wickedness, if I have sinned, the Lord will not hear me. But God hath heard me. God has attended to my voice because he repented, he sought forgiveness and he turned around to do righteously. And God had attended to him. And now he shares this with all of us. He declares it to all of us. God attended to him because he has repented of his iniquity. So it is a lot for all of us to learn that there is a struggle in our lives between good and bad, right, righteousness and wickedness, God and Satan, ultimately. And we must do the right thing. Don't go against God. Don't sin. Don't do all those things which are wicked. Think evil, think wickedly, plotting, scheming. God knows. And this 10 plagues will tell us how the great scheme of God works, even in our lives, that there is this contest for us to be God's people. And let us go to God in prayer. Loving Heavenly Father, we praise Thee and thank Thee for Thy goodness and Thy loving kindness to us. How Thou hast forgiven us our sins, and we are saved with eternal life. Teach us, Lord, to live our life righteously, keep away from sin, from lies, from pride, wickedness, hate, unforgiveness, lust, and many other wicked things that Thou hatest. That we will come before Thee seeking Thy forgiveness and repenting, and never to do it again, Lord. And Thou will delight in us and help us. So we pray for ourselves that we will apply these spiritual lessons to our life. And Thou will delight in us. We ask all this in Christ's precious name. Amen.